good morning. It is time to talk to Denise Lockwood from Racine County Eye, and you brought somebody real special with you today.
Yeah.
A brand new reporter.
A new to us reporter.
Right. People know him. He's been on the planet for a while. But right. Yeah.
A day or two. So I brought Grant Ritchie with me, and he is our Report for America fellow, which means we were able to qualify for a grant to get a grant.
Is that how that works?
And so Grant is our education reporter, and he's been doing a fabulous job. He moved here, Don, from Ohio, which, you know, I grew up in Ohio, too. So he's been here for all of a week and a half, so be kind to him.
Welcome.
Thank you.
This is radio. We got to talk.
We do.
Well, welcome. And how did you get Racine County Eye? How did that work out for you?
Yeah, so I originally worked in Mount Vernon, Ohio at Knox Pages, which is a local newsroom in Knox County, Ohio. It's about 40 minutes east of Columbus, which is our capital. And I was looking for a new job there. Worked there 3 years with Report for America. So my regional manager, Vincent from Report for America, he called me and he brought up that there was an opportunity at Racine County Eye. And it all happened pretty quick. I think it happened that Friday, and then I got hired that Monday. So happened pretty quickly. So
now you can be honest. Did you know where Racine was?
No. I did not. No.
Because when I first moved here from Atlanta, I had no, they said, oh, you're going to be near Racine. Yeah, where's that?
What's funny is that, so I grew up about maybe half hour, 40 minutes from where Grant was, and my ex-husband said, hey, I want to move to Wisconsin. I was like, dude, what's in Wisconsin besides more cows? We have all of the cows here. We don't need more cows. And he's like, no, it's a really nice area. I think you should take a look at it. And I was like, all right, fine. And I fell in love with Racine.
Look at you.
I know.
Very mushy.
35 years later.
Okay, so you've got the job at Racine County Eye. Mm-hmm. Did you know exactly what it was? Because it's not a newspaper like the old print in newspaper. It is the newest form of news gathering because newspapers are still valuable, but they're not the future. This is the future, online news. Yeah. So did you know what you're getting into?
Yeah. It's pretty similar to what Knox Pages was when I worked there for 3 years. All digital.
Digital, that was the word I was looking
there
for.
There you go. No paywall, things like that. So it was a pretty smooth transition from my previous job to this job that I kind of knew what I was getting into.
So why journalism?
I asked him that same question.
I mean, I know why I took radio, because I didn't want to work for a living and deal with the public.
Yeah.
So I know why I took this job. Uh-huh. Why did you take journalism?
Part of it is not having the same routine every single day. There's like something new every single day. You're talking to different people, writing a new story. I did like writing, but I didn't like want to be like an author, write books or anything like that. So always liked asking questions too, and kind of letting people know what's going on in their community too, and kind of unearthing some stuff. That gets me excited doing that. So I would say that it's that hodgepodge of things.
Do you like digging up the dirt? I mean, that one story where you say, I got them. They were lying to me all along. And you get to print the paper like Watergate. And I'm sorry, did I use a reference that was maybe a little too old?
I know what Watergate is. Johnny Watergate.
the Lincoln assassination. I mean, do you want to get that scoop?
Yeah.
Do they still use that word scoop?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think journalists, you're lucky to have a few of those in your career, those big stories.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it's like part of the excitement, like having like a going from like a meeting and having a big story, or getting like your records request fulfilled and scouring through that and trying to find something from that. It's pretty exciting.
Now you're working on
education,
yeah. But there's a story you're working on right now.
There's a couple of stories I've written. That we have mostly covering the Racine Unified School District, and they have a board meeting next Monday. They're going to be looking at some pretty significant legislation, I guess you would call it, if some solar panels they're thinking of approving for the district and some other things there. But yeah, I've ran a couple of stories so far.
Well, you know, your boss over here, Denise, was working on one for the Raymond School District. That was a big story. That went on for quite a while.
It's still going on.
So what's the latest on that?
So actually, Heather Asiambi is working on that. We're really monitoring things and looking for financial responsibility. Are they going to be okay, right? Because they were facing a significant shortfall in their budget. And we want to make sure that they're looking at things critically, but also making sure kids get what they need. So they're going to have some staffing issues. This is not a big school district, but they really needed to understand like their purpose and make sure that they're focused on the things that the financial solvency of the school district is something we're continuing to monitor.
I only had to deal with a school board once. It was up in Brown Deer. You know what
and
that
you
is?
You loved just, it, right?
Well, I challenged them on something and they didn't like to be challenged.
Nobody likes to be challenged like that, but there's a humanity to it, right?
Well, it was a real simple story. It was one of the school teachers used a racial slur against a student because he was angry. Mm-hmm. And the student's family sued. And they, instead of going to court, they settled for a pretty large. Brown Deer is not a big town. It was a pretty large amount of money. And they settled. And I got up there and I said, I would like to know why the teacher is, first of all, still employed. And why did you pay this and not penalize the teacher for it? This was a large money. And somebody in the crowd said, we want to talk about the girls' B basketball team schedule this year, and you're wasting time with this. And I said, this is a lot of money. Mm. I said, it was thousands and thousands of dollars they settled for. And this guy used a racial slur on this student. Well, I want to know what's going on. And the school board members, we've addressed that before. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, you didn't. The settlement was just last week. You didn't. You couldn't have. This is the first school board meeting. And I was being shouted down, we're talking about the girls' B basketball team. And I couldn't believe it. So I went on the air the next day, and I told this story. And I got people screaming at me then. My neighbors were screaming at me.
It's a fun job, isn't it?
Man. Well, I did talk radio for years, and people don't like when you give an opinion.
No, but like, right? But that's what our purpose is. And one of the things that I learned very early on in my career is I don't do this job to be liked. I do this job because I need the people to understand what's happening. So that's a different kind of perspective. And that's why we're committed at Racine County I to doing really strong journalism that holds people accountable. And I was telling Grant the other day, we were having this big kind of soul searching kind of moment. And I was like, you know, My kind of shtick, my focus throughout my career is I'm not your cheerleader, but I'm not your enemy. I want to make sure that the money's being spent correctly. I want to make sure that policies are serving the community. That's our lane, right? And we think of solutions-based journalism. We want to make sure that we're questioning and complicating the narrative because we're in for some bumpy rides, folks, especially when you're looking through the lens of how the federal budget and the state budget, you know, those things all have a massive impact on how well we're teaching our kids, right? And so one of the really big stories that Grant just finished, and maybe you might want to talk a little bit about this, is the reading.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Racine School District, they have a strategic plan from 2027. It's basically we want to get literacy up to 75% for our pre-K through third grade, our math scores up, our education preparedness scores, I think, for eighth graders. So all that stuff, too. And then just did a story about the federal lunch program. That was actually the first story I wrote, where the Racine School District is going to be able to give all kids free breakfast and lunch for this year, but for the 26-27 school year. That's probably not going to be the case due to the federal funding that got slashed. Well, federal funding requirements with Medicaid and SNAP provisions that got more restrictive. And so part of that federal breakfast and free breakfast and lunch is part of that. You have to have those requirements. And so they're likely not going to be able to serve free breakfast and lunch to all kids. So that's going to be something we're going to have to report on and navigate with families and school administration.
Back up on that. We just had someone on the air whose supply, I forget her name, I'm sorry.
Sherry Tussler.
Yes.
I know. She's my bestie.
Yeah. And we were talking on the air about, huge. She helps supply with along one of the officers from the Racine Police Department. They supply at the cop house breakfast during the summer, breakfast and lunch for, you know, these kids, yeah. They come from poor families. And during the school year, they get their breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
But when it's summertime, schools are closed. So they offer the lunch program.
Right.
And
that's it. That is a huge challenge because, and one of the things I oftentimes do is I kind of watch how people talk about story. And so when you look at our Facebook comments, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why are we feeding kids? I don't know, because they're hungry.
What a question.
You know,
and
I mean,
people who have money.
These are basic things. And a lot of it is because there's a massive problem called a food desert. And so one of the stories that we can work on, now that I've got Grant working on that front, I can start working on the other front of why do we have food deserts? Why do we not have grocery stores downtown? So these are really big questions because it's a planning and development problem. It's a market problem. It's a, if you're a company that has, is looking to sell to people in a community that doesn't have a strong financial stability, that's a problem. And so when you have kids that are going hungry, you have a lot of mischievous kind of things happening right now. So,
or they'll try to take the food
exactly
without paying for it.
Exactly.
And that leads to another road you don't want to go down. But I was shocked when I never thought about that because people whose refrigerators and cupboards are stocked, you don't think about people being hungry. You're hungry in the middle of the night. Oh, let's make a sandwich. A lot of people can't do that.
Well, and not only that, but one of the things that I'm really also hitting on is the stability of the other structures, the systems that we have, like HALO and Hospitality Center. Hospitality Center just laid off 15 of their 21 paid people. And so that's a challenge. And there are other things that are funded from the federal budget that this is going to be something people need to understand, because if you're in a civic organization or a church or something along that line, you need to be aware that people may or may not be okay. And your neighbor that is elderly, that may have lost their Medicaid, they're not okay. And so a lot of these cuts are not slated to start until December of 2026. However, a lot of the structures, the call centers, have been gutted by thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So those call centers are pretty overwhelmed. And there are more deadlines and more paperwork that people need to do. So we're going to be working on story to help people navigate some of this, right? So that's where solutions-based journalism really excels.
In the news today, the Department of Education in Washington slashed big time.
Like, huge.
Like thousands and thousands and thousands 14, of people. 100,000 people.
Yeah, 104,000 people, I think.
How does this affect? People don't, you know, it's one of those things that, well, I don't think that affects my school district. It affects everybody. That's a lot of people being laid off. So how does it affect people, do you know?
Well, that's one of the stories that we're definitely going to deep dive on, and that's Grant's job now. And so, I mean,
I'll be in Cancun next week. Work on that story.
No, I'll be Krivitz, Wisconsin next week. I'm going to tell you that right now. So, no, those are the things that's meat and potato journalism, right? And from a local level, there are some very big things that we can do from a community engagement standpoint. And so we're planning on doing some surveys of people, of really doing some community listening sessions where we're putting out surveys and saying, how are you doing with feeding yourselves and things along that line? Because we're in for some pretty bumpy stuff. And I'm really wanting to make sure people are going to be able to stick together and I don't care how you voted, people. I don't care how you voted. But these are things that are really important to the viability of our community. Because if you don't have people eating well, you don't have people living well and being healthy. And we haven't even talked about health care, but that's a whole other subject. So
I'm amazed that your grammar is so well when you speak. Because I hear kids speaking today And I was somewhere, I won't say what where I was, but I was there and a young girl was speaking. And I was counting on my fingers how many times she used the word like. And I stopped at 40. And she was only speaking for about 3 or 4 minutes. I stopped at 40 because I would go, and I ran out of hands and fingers and toes. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it's just the grammar of some people today. I ain't got that. I ain't got nothing. Well, that means you do have something because you use the double negative. What? What's a double negative? Do they teach grammar in the schools anymore?
It's hard. It's a hard place to be in on a lot of different fronts right now.
This comedian we ran on the air, not this morning, but the other morning, and he said, when I went to school, I didn't want to learn computers. Cursive is the way of the future. And does anybody write cursive anymore?
That's a good question.
I never did because I print better than I write cursive.
I'm a cursive girl. Are you a cursive guy?
No, I didn't really like it. When,
but at least he knows what it is.
Right?
A lot of people don't know what it is. But what did you concentrate on? Because when you write, your grammar's got to be perfect. Because there's going to be someone who's going to say, what? And they're going to catch you on it. Do you proofread all this stuff? Or does anybody?
Heather Asiambi does.
She has proofread everything. Mm-hmm. Now, what about fact checking?
We do that too. So
does that get you in trouble if you don't?
It absolutely will.
People think, well, newspapers can print anything or, you know, news services. No, there's slander laws and there's also, well, slander is speaking, but there's libel laws.
Well, I have libel insurance and I don't ever want to use it. And I haven't, it turns out.
You have to.
I have to, yes. Yeah.
Like malpractice
making
insurance.
Things up is frowned upon in this establishment.
Okay, you got any big stories on the horizon you can give us a little hint on?
Well, a lot of it is we're working on some pieces around development and looking through the lens of how is the community going to absorb a lot of these hits from the federal government, because actually they're working on budgets now at the municipal level and county level. And so those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be looking at like the infrastructure that's going to be impacted, but we're also going to be doing some fun things. Like we're going to be doing some more high school sports.
I can't believe that's starting up in August starts early. They got to practice.
August, I think 21st is their first game. So we're going to be expanding that section quite a bit. I'm really excited about it. But honestly, no one on the face of the earth needs me to be writing anything about sports. I root for the wrong team.
But the Buckeyes?
That's what my husband says.
The Buckeyes? Is that you?
No. I'm just not all. It's a straight line. I usually, yeah.
All right. Well, it was nice meeting you. Welcome to Racine. And you came at the right time because all the festivals, all the street, what do you see party on the pavement?
Oh. Well, he said first Fridays, we hung out together. I took Grant, my husband and I took Grant up to the top of Hotel Verdant. Yeah. And I said, go take a picture and send it to your mom and tell her it's okay.
And by the way, when you were downtown at the Hotel Verdant, right across the street is the Racine Art Museum, RAM. Mm-hmm. That was a bank at one time. And that bank was robbed by John Dillinger. And in the movie with Johnny Depp, Public Enemy, they mentioned that on the radio. They said, John Dillinger just robbed the bank in Racine, Wisconsin. And that was the bank he robbed right there across the street. The building's there. Now it's different. And that was the original WRJN studios inside that RAM building.
Really?
Yeah, right where when Dillinger robbed it. We didn't hear it in the... Wait, did you hear something in the lower level?
Right.
That's where we were at that time. Well, welcome to Racine. You couldn't have worked for a better organization, Racine County Eye.
Aw, so
thank you. I appreciate it.
And you couldn't work for a better boss who really loves what she's doing, and she really believes in it. And that's good when you believe in your business. And I'm lucky to work for people who believe in radio.
Yeah.
So good luck. Congratulations. You got a big future ahead of you. And this is the lady to pay attention to. She knows everything about news.
Not everything.
She knows how to dig up a story. She's got a nose for
that's
news.
That's your superpower is humility, friend. Superpower.
You know what my superpower is? I know every movie I've ever seen and the theater I've seen it in my entire life. That's my superpower.
Wow.
You name
that's
a movie.
That's impressive.
I'll tell you any movie. I'll tell you the theater I saw it in. I can tell you the year I saw
Where
it, too.
Where did you see Empire Strikes Back?
Well, I never saw it.
Oh. What?
Actually, I did. I saw it on a VHS cassette in my living room.
What about
room.
Star Wars, though?
Star Wars I saw at the Twin South Cinerama Theater when it came out in the, what, 76 or something. Our radio station was, they didn't know if this movie was going to be big or not. They just thought this was going to be, they didn't know. So they said, the local radio station, I worked out on Long Island, they said, we need to promote this movie. All the announcers have to be in there opening night. So we all went out there opening night. We had tickets printed up with Star Wars. It was the big Cinerama Theater. It was huge. And we packed it with people who won tickets, and they loved it. I said, that's okay. It was the only one
I've ever... You said it was okay?
It's the only one I've ever seen in the theater.
What about Jaws? Where did you see Jaws?
Jaws I saw at the Wontaw Theater opening day. We got online at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We didn't get in there till 9 o'clock at night. We had to sit through two showings at the Wontaw Theater on Long Island. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is a superpower. you can't fool me. Nice meeting you, Grant.
Yeah, that's me.
Grant Ritchie and Denise Lockwood from Racine County. I'm glad we're doing business with you guys.
I know. I so appreciate it.